Mitzvah, we'll talk about Maleches Malabim. And then, since tomorrow is already the beginning of Purim, we'll say some words about Purim. I want to begin with the Lashon of the Rambam, and we'll see where the Makar of the Rambam is. The Rambam makes a very fascinating distinction with regard to Maleches Malabim. This is in Perek Chof Beis, Halacha Mem Zayin. And the Rambam writes, Hamachaskes, Hamachaskes es hasudar osur, Mipnei shehu malabno, Abal achalok mutar, Mipnei she'ein kavanoso el lirachacho. So the Rambam has a distinction between two cases. And in the first case, he speaks about sudar. In the second case, chalok. The Rambam says that in this case of chalok, we'll explain the case in just a minute. It's mutar, but the fascinating thing is the Rambam's explanation. Why is it mutar? She'ein kavanoso el rachacho. Because what's his intention? What does he want to get out of it? He just wants to be merachek. He wants to soften it. He's not interested in cleaning it. He's not motivated to launder it. He just wants to soften it. So the Makar of the Rambam is here on Daf Kuf Mem Amud Aleph in Perek Tolim. The Gemara says the following. Boy mine. The Gemara has the following suffix. Mal chizchuse kisnisa b'shabsa. Is he allowed to do this process with regard to a ksonis shel pishton on Shabbos? And what is this process? This is lekiskuse. Rashi says, what's lekiskuse? Shifshuf. In other words, the garment has already been laundered, it's already been cleaned, but there's a certain stiffness to it. After the process of kibbutz, it becomes quite stiff, so he wants to soften it up. So how does he soften it up? He does this shifshuf. Rashi says, umeshafshafa, bein yadav. He picks it up in his hands and he rubs it back and forth. Now, Rashi tells us that as a result of this rubbing, two things happen. On the one hand, it softens it. Rashi says, vehi misrachacha. And on the other hand, Rashi says, the af libun shalom, it also launders the, but it's already been laundered, so what does it mean? How is he washing it? How is he cleaning it? So Rashi says, matzil, it becomes brighter, al yideh shifshuf. So this shifshuf process, which is called in Lashon HaChazal kiskus, has a twofold implication or a repercussion. On the one hand, it creates a softness in the beged, which is called the rachich. And at the same time, Rashi says, matzil, it makes it even brighter than it was before. So the Gemara wants to know, is he chayev mishum moleches malabim? And the final maskana is that shapir domi it's mutter. Why? Kika mechaven, what is he mechaven? For lirachuche kisnisa. This ksones, he's only interested in richuch. He's not interested in liolude chivara, chiyura, which means to add to the brightness of the laundered garment.
It always brightens it? It's like obscuration?
Oh, that's going to be my kash. Well, you see, the difference between me and Benny is that I have to say the shir, and you have to guess what I'm going to say. That's the only difference. But this is what the Gemara's conclusion is, that it's all a question of his kavana. The Gemara doesn't tell us, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Rashi is quite outspoken. He's clear that it's going to happen. He's going to be matzil as a beggar. And there's no doubt that if his kavana was, you know, this is a good word from Megillas Esther, and then, you know, Yoni Biyomala litzahala, if it was for tzahala that he was interested in, then it would be a maleches malavim. But the Gemara says that his kavana is for the sake of lirachek. And that's exactly what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, mutter mipnei she'ein kavanoso elo lirachecho. So he's not interested in laundering the garment, latzilo, but rather he's interested in softening it because it's too stiff. Now the question that Benny asks, which I think is very appropriate, even if the Rambam paskins like Rav Shimon, which we can prove that he does, that Dom Shein Miskaven is Mutar on Shabbos, but that's only if it's not a psik reisha. Here it seems that the Totsaah is already a given. The only issue is what motivates him, so he's not Miskaven. But in the case of psik reisha, the Gemara says all over the place that Moda Abai Rav Damich Abai Moda Rav Shimon psik reisha. Now this concept that you need kavana for a malacha appears over and over again throughout the Rambam. It's not limited to this case of maleches malamed. I'll give you a few examples. Let's open up to the Magid Mishnah in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Beis, and there the Rambam is talking about the malacha of makah b'patish. The Magid Mishnah explains in the Rambam that why does the Rambam add kavana in makah b'patish? He says because the malacha is not a malacha without makah b'patish. The shame malacha is dependent upon makah b'patish. So it means that according to the Rambam, if let's say I would do a makah b'patish b'psik reisha, and therefore you would say it's not a double shame miskami, nevertheless says the Magid Mishnah, it's still mutter. Why? Because the malacha of makah b'patish requires kavana. Let me give you two other examples. The Rambam in Meleches Tzedah, for example. This is in Perek Yud Halacha Chaf Aleph. There are two Rambams in this Perek, but both really say the same Yisod. The Rambam, in the case of Tzedah, he writes, why is he chayev in the case of Shmona Shrotzim? Hoil v'niskaven lotzut. Why did the Rambam have to add hol v'niskaven lotzut? And the Rambam goes on to say, even though I paskin like review that lochshin tzricha legufa is chayov, and therefore this would be in the best case scenario a malacha shein tzricha legufa, nevertheless the Rambam says it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because he wasn't miskaven lotzut. Or for example, at the end of this parak, the Rambam says, Remosim umazikim kagon nechoshim v'akravim v'chayotzim and afal pi she'eno memisim hoel v'noshchim mutal lotzit osom v'shabbos. The Rambam is not talking about pikuach nefesh, because then the Rambam stipulates the following condition. He says, were you allowed to capture these nechoshim, these akravim, that's only she is kavin li'notzel v'nishnichosom. In other words, if his kavana is just to save himself, shalo yazik, he's not interested at all in selling the serpent to his local zoo or taking the akrav, and I don't know what he's going to do with that. So it's not miskavin lotzut. So here's another case where the Rambam says that the kavana itself is integral to the malacha. The Rambam in the same perek, halacha yud zayin. The Rambam says, "Hamafishchin b'Shabbos, kidei laharchiv piyamaka." If he has kavana laharchiv piyamaka, fumiskaven l'rechfua, laharchiv piyamaka reza chayv mishumaka b'patish. But im hotzia, he didn't have kavana for what? For laharchiv piyamaka el lahotzi mimeno lecha bilvad. It's all he wants to do is get out the lecha. Hareze mutter. So again, the Rambam seems to come back to the same Yisod that we saw earlier in the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah is back in Perek Yud Beis. Here, the Rambam is saying that with regard to Makah B'Patish, if you don't have Kavana to be Makah B'Patish, that's not a Malacha. And even though he's being Makah via Makah, he's definitely creating a pair. Nevertheless, he didn't have Kavana with the pair. He's only interested in getting out the Lecha. How does he get out the Lecha? By making the pair. So it comes out, Rabbo said, that we have here a number of malachos where the Rambam establishes that kavana defines the malacha. And in the case of malavim, the Rambam holds that the only reason you can be chayav for maleches malavim is because he had kavana. If he's not interested in laundering the beggar, he's only interested in richok beggar, the Rambam says that's mutter. Now, it could be possible that this Rambam should be connected with Tosfos. The Tosfos is not here on Kuf Mem, but rather on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. The Sugya Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, which is also in Ksubas Daf Vav, is the Sugya of Mesuchraya Dinizais. So what's the case? He has this vat, and he has Yayin in the vat. He doesn't have what we would call a stopper, or in Hebrew, a pekak. So he uses a beged to plug up the hole so that the Yayin won't flow out. Now, when he tightens it, since this beged is going to absorb the liquid, he's going to inadvertently squeeze out the liquids. And that should be a malacha malave. So the Gemara goes like this. Amar Rabbi Abba bar Zavta marav, halacha ki Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Abba quotes his Rebbe Rav that we paskin that Dov Hashem Miskavim is mut. So the Gemara right away asks, Lameimar de Rav Rabbi Shimon Sfirulei. Are you telling me that Rav accepted the sheet of Rabbi Shimon? Amar Rav Sidi Barchia Mishrei de Rav, Hai Mesuchraya de Nezaisa, Osor La Duka Biyome Tava. There's an Iser of Hiduk on Yontif because there's no heterochol nefesh for squeezing a liquid out of a beged. So the Gemara answers, even Rav Shimon would be mod in that case. Why? But he afil Rav Shimon mod, the Abayim, the Rav, the Amrit Shavayim, mod Rav Shimon, psikresha de lo yomuz. So the case of Mesukrai din Azaisa is a case of psikresha. We know that when he squeezes the beged, the sudar, in order to plug it up, he's going to inevitably squeeze out the liquids. And that's called a psikresha. So the Gemara establishes that Rav accepts the sheet of Rav Shimon, that Dov Hashem is covered as mutter, with the exception of a psik ratio. Now, on this sugya, there's a gigantic tosfos that starts in Amud Aleph and continues all the way to the bottom of Amud Beis. We're only interested in one discussion of tosfos. Tosfos records a machlokas between the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam about the following case. Tinok, I assume we're talking about a nursing baby, or in any event, that Tinok shall lichlech big day emo b'meirag lime. So the mother got her gotten dirty with meirag lime as a result of this Tinok. And now the question is, how can she clean her gotten? So the Ri says the following, Ein lizrok olav mayim. She's not allowed to pour water on the begadim. And why is that? The Shriyaso Zui Kibuso, that's a malach of kibus. However, the Ri goes on to tell us the following story. Vishamati Mipia Noshim. Okay, the question is whether Noshim are believed or not, that's a different issue. Okay. Shehite Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam found a way in which she could pour water on the begadim and clean them from the meiraglan. How? Hiter Rabbeinu Tam litol yodeha, she can wash her hands, and then ulkaneach yodeha bebeget. And now she can take her hands and she could clean them off or dry them off on this beget. But what's going to happen? The water's going to go on the beget. He says, Kevan shu derech lichluch, since it's only derech lichluch. So again, here there's a long discussion about what Rabbeinu Tam means by derech lichluch. But what I want to emphasize is the next four words. Kidei, what is motivating her? Is she interested at all in cleaning out the garment? So Rabbeinu Tam says, Kidei shetuchal lispalel ulevarech. She wants to get rid of the meirag lahem so she's allowed to daven there. The ein nira l'ri, and the Ri says it doesn't matter. It's going to be shriyaso zui kibuso, and therefore it's a malacha and it's asur. So it could be, Rabosa, I'm not 100% sure, that this Rabbeinu Tam is like this Rambam. Just like we saw in the Rambam, that in the case of Meleches Lib, when the Rambam says that you need Kavana, but if on the other hand it's Ein Kavanasa L'Rachech, the Rambam says it's Mutter, so too Rabbeinu Tam says if Ein Kavanasa Ela Kedei Shetuchal L'Spala L'Varech, in other words, she has no interest in cleaning off the beged per se, therefore it's mutter. Because kavana is a precondition with regard to meleches libu. And now if we go back to the same page of the Rambam, just looking on the bottom, we have Hagos Maimonios. The Hagos Maimonios, here in Ospei, quotes this machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. And he says, Rabbeinu Tam, Horo Lenoshim, Minikos, Shatinokos, Molachlechos, Big Dayhem, Shemutaris Lito Yedev, Lekaneach, Lemokom Alif, Kedesh, Tuchal, Lispalel. And he says the following. He says, just one second here. Oh, Vishuv Matsasi, Bishem Riva, Gamken, Shemitizu, Meraglaim al Bgodov. And it's a tofech amnas lat piach to the extent that ainu yochel levarch lispalel muter losseis aleim mayim kevon sheainu miskaven el litayer velo l'shem kibus. So if we had any doubts in Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by Tosfos, I don't think we could have any doubts in the Riva, quoted by Dagos Maimonides. Dagos Maimonides is outspoken about it. What is her kavana, or his kavana in the case of a man who got moved? If his kavana is just l'tayer, in order that he should be able to be mispalel, but he has no kavana l'kibus, he's not interested in laundering the beged per se, that's not motivating him, then it's mutter. So this for sure, this Riva belongs to what we saw before in the Rambam, that there's a tnai in the very shame malacha of libun that you have to have an interest in being malabi in the beged. And Rabosai, perhaps we don't have to go very far, because the famous Gemara of Minayar Taliso, what does Gemara say on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin? Haminayar Taliso b'Shabbos Chayav Chata. So he's got, Rashi says he has avak, he has offer on his talis, and he shakes it off. And the Gemara establishes here the name of Ravuna that he's Chayav Chatas. That's called Libun, Rashi says. But the Gemara says, Lo Amaran Ela, when do we apply this? Bechadati, it's a new talis. So you don't want to have, you don't want to have any lichluch, any avak on your talis. Al-Batiki, but if it's an old ancient talis, less one boy, just wants to shake it out, that's not a malacha of malabi. And then the Gemara again restricts it. He says, Loshna, Lavarn el-Ba'uchmi, it's a dark garment, and therefore the avak makes a stain, and it's quite obvious. Al-Bechivare, Usumke, if it's a different kind of a color where the avak or the offer is lost in the leslan bog, then it's not considered a maleches libu. And then the Gemara adds three words, the very, very famous three words of maleches malabim, v'hu tekapid alayhu. Rashi says that if the avak is mekalkel marisa, to the extent to which he's kapid alayhu, he doesn't want to wear them until he shakes it out, then Rashi says he's in violation of Aleches Malavin. Everything depends on his Kepeda. Thus, we now have a little bit of an insight as to why Kavana is so critical to Aleches Malavin. Because the whole idea of Aleches Malavin is that you're makbid because the dirt bothers you, you don't want to wear the beged. And if it's a Kepeda to that extent, as Rashi says, that hu makbid alei lilovshan, Ashi and Narim, then he really needs to launch it, no launder the
beged. Subjective thing, basically, like each person.
Correct. Each person would be different. Everything depends upon his kpeda. But I'm just pointing out that if we go back to the Rambam and the Riva that we started with, that in Maleches Malabim is a precondition in the very shame Malach that you have to have kavana, like we saw in the Rambam Lagabi Tzeda in the Magen Mishnah, we saw it in Makom Patish. It means that certain malachas, unless you have the kavanah for the malacha, it's not a malacha at all.
Even a stain, that if someone, I mean, there's a bad, it's not mamish a stain, it's like you take it off, but a stain could be the difference between a real stain and a bak and such things. If you're not makpit, or.
Well, it might depend on whether you use water or not. But if you're just shaking it out, so in the case of a stain, I don't know if you can shake it out. Now, if anyone could do me just a little bit of a tovi here, because I was a bit pressured to start so early, if somebody could bring me the Vilna Gaon, meaning the Shulchan Aruch here, and I'll be able to read the Gaon to you, because I think everything we're saying here is in the Bira Gros. We want to look in two places in the Bira Gros, in Shin Yutes and in Shin Beis. Okay, Shin Yutes, he quotes the Smag, and in Shin Beis, He says it outright. I meant to say Shin Beis and Shin Yud Tes. That's what I meant to say. Benny, you want to do me a favor? Just open it for me if you don't mind. So if you're first open up to Shin Yud Tes, Se'if Yud, okay? And then we'll see if I can bring a clear-cut support from the Gaon. Okay, Shin Yud Tes Sif Ches. We'll see if we can find the Gaon here. No, I'm not finding the Gaon. He says only if he has Kavana. A second, maybe just look for it one more second. Oh, Dachal Rachech Mutter, he says, and he says, why would this be usher? Only if he has Kavana Lil Libun. But if his Kavana is not L'shem Libun, then it's Mutter. That's a Shin Yud Tes. Let's go back for a minute to Shin Beis and see if we can find it there. Yeah, Dafka Merakech. You see it?
No, I don't have a.
I mean, the Gaon and the Sugya that we saw before, they're trying to understand why is he laundering this beged if he doesn't have any interest in cleaning it. So we always have to look for an alternative kavana, whether it's l'shem tahara and he can't daven, or whether it's l'shem richuch because it's very stiff after it's laundered. So here in Siman Shin Beis, if you take a look in Sif Tes, once again you have the cases of Tit al Bigdo, and you have Mayim ala ma'ala. You want to add water, he says, al Gabi Minol, l'shachshecho. And he says that in all these cases, you have to know exactly what his kavana is. So let's see if I can find the Gaon here. He says, okay, so. Alright, if somebody could just find the Gaon for me, and it's a little hard for me now. Okay, fine. So let's go on. I want to show you a Rambam in Perek Ches Halacha Tesvot. Now, what do I want to get out of this Rambam? Let me introduce the following question. We said that the Ri in Tosis on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. Now, if he disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, then he's telling you that your kavana is not just l'shem tara, but also you have some sort of kavana l'shem nikayon, right? Because you have to remove the meraglayim in order to be menach. Is it possible? Yeah, you found it. Yeah. You want to read it out loud, just Benny?
Yeah.
Who most of all who mafarik?
Yosef near the sphere like Moshe Kosov Avach b'shem Asmag. The numbering she also there kibosoi.
Ella Mekav Neskav Mekav. So that's the key word. But what does it say afterwards? But if he's only
Nissen the
Shalshel. Right, that's all we need. Ella Mekav Mekav. Okay, that's the Loshen Agon. Okay. So this was very exciting for me because, you know, the Gaon's language is pretty explicit. But here's where I got stuck. Back in the sugi again of Misuchraya de Nezaisa, there's a machlokas Rishonim here between Ramban and Rabbeinu Tam as to what malacha we're dealing with. In other words, when we talk about malacha schita, because what he's doing by squeezing in the sudar, he's doing a schita. So we can always talk about schita under two different possible malachas. The schita mishum malabin and the schita mishum mafarik. So the Rishonim tried to figure out exactly, in the case of Mesukhrai Din Azaisa, which schita we're talking about. So as I told you before, this sugya of Mesukrayat and Azaisa appears not only here in Kuf Yud Aleph and Shabbos, also appears on Dav Vav in Ksubas. And there, Rabbi Natan in this gigantic Tosfos says that Mesukrayat and Azaisa is Moleches Mefarik. And he goes on to say that since Mefarik, you always have to be interested in that which comes out. Here he's not interested in the Yayin, and therefore it's only an Iser, and it's only Derabbanan, it's not Doraisa, and so forth and so on. But in any event, he classifies this Schita as Meleches Mefarik. The Ramban, on the other hand, in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, says that it's not Meleches Mefarik, but rather it's Schita Mishum Melabin. Now I want to read to you the language that Tosfos read. He says the following: Leka iser b'schita mishum mafarik. He rejects Rabbi Natan. Ela b'mashkin shebetoch haperos. Notice if you take a fruit and has its natural juices, squeezing out those juices, that's called sochet mishum mafarik. Shenolad amashkin betoch dover nischat. Avol b'mayim haboy mibachutz. If I add water or any liquid from the outside, Leka bazeh iser sochet mishum mefarik. Mefarik always has to be to take out its natural juices. So Tosfos Rid, therefore, comes to the final conclusion, like the Ramban, that in our case of Mesukrayat and Azaisa, where he humanly, artificially adds the liquid into the pagan, you can only be chayav as schita mishum melab, but not mishum mefarik. So now I have a problem. Is this individual in the least bit interested in cleaning out the sudar, you know, this pkak that he's using to close up the Mesukrayat and Azaisa? It doesn't interest him kiyuzeh. I mean, if he wanted to take it to the laundry, he knows where the local laundromat is. He's just trying to use it to stop up the vat. Is Mimela, according to both the Ramban and the Tosfos Rid, who both agree that the Gemara of Mesukrayat and Azaisa is addressing the Meleches Melamin, we just established, based on the Sugya Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, where his Kavana was only L'Richuch, that without Kavana L'Shem Kibus V'Libun, it's not a Meleches Melamin. Are we therefore to say that the Ramban and the Tosfos, and also add the Rival Rabbi Natan, who say that if our interest is only to take out the Meirat Lion to be Matara herself for Tefillah, then it's mutter? And what about all the sugyas that we said about kpeda, that everything depends upon your kpeda? What I'm asking is the following: what was the havamin in the Gemara in the sugya and Kuf Yud Aleph on Midbeis to say that even if I hold like Rabbi Shimon that Dorshen Miskavin is mutter, but here it should be aser? Why should it be aser? Because it's a psik resha. We said that even if it is a psikration, we know that he's cleaning out the garment, but he's not doing it l'shem kibus, l'shem livun. He's doing it because he wants to soften it up. He's doing it because he wants to be mitayer himself. He's doing it even though he's not makpid, because he wants to look spiffy, but he's not makpid on it. So in all these cases, we see one sugya after the other, which are predicated on the assumption that in Meleches Melabim we need kavana. So why then is Mesukrayat and Azaisa, according to both Ramban and the Piskei Rid, Chayav Mishum Meleches Melamin, Schita Mishum Melamin, if he doesn't have Kavana L'Shem Liv?
How is he washing it? No,
he's not washing it, he's squeezing it. In other words, here's the Sudar, right? And he uses it as a plug. So what happens is, when he tightens it to make sure that no Yayin is going down, so inevitably what happens is some of the Yayin squeezes out of this Sudar, out of this thing.
That's the Melavim, basically. Yeah.
And that's an act of Schita, according to the Ramban, Mishum Meleches Melavim. Not Schita Mishum Mefarik, but Schita Mishum Melavim. What?
Is it from the wine? That's the idea?
I didn't hear the first part he said.
It cleans it from the wine, basically.
Correct, because you're squeezing the wine out of the bag. But ask a question: is he interested in the, you know, what's he doing? He's taking this bag in to sell it in the open market. He's using it as a cop. So he knows it's inevitably going to get dirty with wine. And if he wanted to clean it, I can give him a couple of other recommendations. So Rabosai, I would like to suggest a mahalach here, And let me see if we can develop something. When we talk about Meleches Melavim, we can talk about kibus, which means I take a filthy beged and I soak it in water, and I soak, maybe I add soap to it, all sorts of cleaning agents. And that's called kibus. In the case of kibus, clearly the malacha is laundering the garment. And now you can ask me the question, what was I interested in? Did I have a kavana for the sake of kibus in order to be menachem the beged or not? I'm not interested in becoming a beged. So the malacha is contingent upon my kavana. But then there's something else. There's not only kibus, there's meleches melavim. For example, let's say schita mishum melavim. In the case of schita mishum melavim, what is the schita doing? Is the schita, in Yiddish we say uftuing, is it accomplishing a nikuya begin? Where is he cleaning out the begin? Cleaning out the begin means, you know, shriyasa zui kibuso, you add boris, you add whatever you do, and then there's a process of getting the dirt out of the beged. But in the case of schita, he's just removing the liquids, which may be soapy, or from the beged. So here, I want to share with you something I heard from my Rebbe a zillion years ago. So again, if I don't say it exactly the way he said it, you'll be meichel me. He has a Rambam here. I think I have it on the Mar Makomos page. In Perek Tes. Again, this is in a totally different context, but perhaps we can learn a Yisod from this Rambam. The Rambam is talking about Meleches Mevashel, and he says the following. There's a ton of Torah in this Rambam, but I'm just focusing on one point. Perek Tes Halacha Dal. So the Rambam's talking about a case where Reuven brought the fire, Shimon brought the fuel, and Levi put the kedera on the fire, and they all worked in cahoots. Then somebody brought the basar, and he put it into the kedera, and he says, Kulam Chayov. Okay, that, again, as I said, there's a lot of Torah here. But then the Rambam adds something very fascinating. He says, Ba ech acher vehiyis. This is what we call agasa. And I think I spoke about this way back in El. The Rambam says, why is he chayav in meyis? That's not an act of bishul. And the Rambam says the following, Shekol ha'oset davar mitzarchei abishul, harei zeh mevashel. What compels the Rambam, in a very rare kind of way, this is not typical of the Rambam, to feel that he has to add up the whole hesber? Every other action participates in the bishul. Hagasah is not something that you can say the bishul, even without the hagasah, it would have cooked. But the Rambam says that there's something called mitzarchei abishul. So if I remember correctly what Rav Soloveitchik said at that time, see, the trouble is I didn't learn Shabbos by my Rebbe, so whatever I heard over from others, but what I heard over in his name is that there's something called a maisa bishul. In other words, when you have an entire process of bishul, there's certain actions that are done in the context of bishul, and they are defined as a maisa bishul. So the meleches bishul has a broad scope to it, includes any action that's done within the context of that bishul. So what do I want to get out of this? Let's go back to meleches melavim, schita mishum melavim. And we ask the question, why is he chayav mishum melavim if he's not really cleansing the beged? I understand the kibus, where it's cleaning, it's getting the stains out, that's called meleches melavim. But in the case of schita, he's just drying the beged. So the answer might be, just like in Hagasa, you chayav for a maisa mimaisa abishul, so too in meleches melavim, you chayav for a maisa mimaisa halimut. And if you talk to the launderers and you ask them what different ma'isim are they involved in, one of them is going to be schita. Right? In other words, I'm not going to give you a beggar that comes out of the washing machine and it's absolutely soaking, right? You know, when you put the washing machine, you have another button called, you know, another cycle called the drying cycle. So you need the drying cycle. That's schita. Here's the difference. If you're involved in kibbutz, or shriyasa zui kibbutzo, then I want to ask you the question, why are you doing this? Are you interested in laundering the beged or not? And kavod becomes an essential condition in defining the law. But if you're interested in malamen, in schita mishum malamen, where schita is nothing more than what? A maisa mi maisa alibun, the maisa itself doesn't contribute at all to the nikayan of the beged, then here the Rambam said, here we could say that it's irrelevant what your kavana is. Let's see exactly how I work this in. So we have the case of Misuchraya Dinazais. According to the Rabban and according to the Piskei Rid, Yochayav Mishum Schit as it told of Malame. So we ask the question, what do you mean? He's not interested at all in Nikayan Abegan. He's not cleaning this little kaak. So why should he be Chayav? We already saw that in the case where he does a shifshif on the beged, that shifshif on the beged enhances the beauty of the beged, and yet you're not chayv mishum olamin if your kavanah was a shem richum. Is alachas kam v'kam in the case of misukrayed in his eisa, schita mishum limun, he has no kavanah of limun, why should he be chayv? You're lacking chaser po'etzim atnai. But the answer is, because that's Suya Daf Kufir Aleph and the Rama that we saw when we started with in Perikov Beis, that's talking about kibbutz. That's talking about Nikoyin HaBeged. And now he asks the question, alright, if it's Nikoyin HaBeged, so tell me what you're interested in, what motivates you. The Kavanah is integral. But the Ramban and the Piskei Rid in the Suya of Misukrayat and Zaisa, they're not talking about kibbutz, they're talking about Schita. And now the question is, schita, is it a tolda of malaben, or is it not a tolda of malaben? And the answer is, that according to Rabban and the Piskei Rid, it's a tolda of malaben. He has no interest whatsoever in cleaning out the beggar. The answer is that schita mishum malaben is never for the purpose of malaben as a beggar, lenakos as a beggar. It's a separate halacha, new category called the Samaisa Mimaisa Limun. No, it's Samaisa Mimaisa Limun. You're chayiv if you had kavanah for the Maisa Limun. I don't have to ask the question, what was your interest? Are you interested in closing the pkak? Are you interested in cleaning out the beged and removing the wine from the beged? That's not relevant because it's a Maisa Limun and you're chayiv for the Maisa Limun.
At least, the regular Maisa Limun. He should, even though he doesn't have kosher, that's also tzorche alibun, no? It's also part of the mais alibun. So even though you can be mechayvim on without the kavana on the real mais alibun, it's at least also chelik of.
Well, what makes it into a mais alibun is the kibus itself.
And the tzorche.
If he has a tzorah for that kibus or nikayon.
By schite, even though he's not mechavim, he really doesn't mean it. That's enough, even though like.
Correct. Because it's a maisa mi maisa alibun. That's what I'm saying.
Maisa mi maisa alibun, even the maisa mechabes, like whatever it is, it's also a maisa mi maisa alibun.
Well, I don't classify kibbutz or shriya as a maisa mi maisa alibun. I call that a kibbutz. That is kibbutz. Now the thought occurred to me. I don't know if I got a chance to share with you a chiddush of the nesivus. I meant to add it to our discussion, I think it was 2 weeks ago when we spoke about Gzeres Rabbanan and Melachos Rabbanan. When do we have that discussion? About 2 weeks ago, something like that. So there's a problem with a stira. Let me just quickly review the stira with you. Again, it's just a keresh kvitza for what I want to say here. And there was a stira in terms of malacha shein etzricha legufa. What do I mean? Malacha shein etzricha legufa, we pass like Rav Shimon is potavol asur. And the issue now becomes l'tzorech chole. Would malacha shein etzricha legufa be mutter l'tzorech chole? So we found something very interesting. That there's a stira between the two. Two sugyas in Masechet Shabbos. There's one sugya called Mechabe Esaner L'tzorech Chol Sheyishan. And there the Mishnah says that's awesome, potra awesome. And yet in the case of mafish chin, the Gemara says that if you hold mocheng tzicha legufa is potra awesome, here they were matir b'mokum tzar. So the question is, when you're putting out the light for the sake of a chola, and that's called a mocheng tzicha legufa, has no interest in the pechom, that we're not going to allow for the sake of a chola. We called it a malachad rabbanon, if you remember our discussion. But in the case of mafis mursa, there, b'makom tsar, we were matir malach shen tzricha leguf. So the Baal HaNesivus has an amazing answer to this question. And it requires hours and hours of work to really analyze this answer. He says that machaves haner is an av malach of kibui, whereas Mafis Mursa is a tolda of Meleches Binyan. In other words, Meleches Binyan as an Av is only in Gedule Karka, or in Mechubra Lekarka, I should say. And here, when he's taking out the pus, and he's making a Pesach, in his goof, again, we have derivations by even a Satzela, and so forth and so on, but that's only a tolda. Comes along the Nesivus, and he says the following, that there's a difference between Meleches and Yitzrich Leguf in the case of an Av, and Malach Hashem is Tzricha Leguf in the case of a Tolda. And he says the following. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Malach Hashem is Tzricha Leguf is Chayav, he would be Moda in the case of a Tolda. So for example, Mafis Mursa, even Rabbi Yehuda would be on board that if he doesn't have L'shem, you know, he doesn't have a Tzorech L'shem Malach Hashem Binyan, he's only trying to remove the Lecha, then it becomes only a Drabbana. How can a Malach Shein Tzricha Leguf be a Drabbanan? So he says, because here we're dealing with a Tolda. Masha'en came in the case of Kibui, there we're talking about an Av. And even if you're like Rav Shimon, we can't be Matir B'Mokum Chole. Why? Because since we're dealing with an Av Malach, a Malach Shein Tzricha Leguf becomes a Malach. Albeit Drabbanan, but we can't be Matir B'Mokum Chole. So what's the difference between an av and a tolda? I don't get it. If you're willing to tell me that we're matir a malach shein tzricha legufa in the case of a tolda, b'makom choli, why not be matir malach shein tzricha legufa in the case of an av malach? What difference to make whether it's an av and a tolda?
An av malach is exactly the...
What's the difference between an av and a tolda? Well, let's go backwards. What does the tolda share with the av?
The totsah.
Exactly, the totsah. If it's eino tzricha legufa, then we could say in the case of a tolda, then it's not a tolda at all. The whole status of a tolda is based on the fact that you need to achieve the same goal as you would achieve in the av. In terms of the tzuras ha-maisa, there's no similarity between the av and the tolda. The common denominator between the av and the tolda is the tzorech, is the tachlis. If you have no interest in this tachlis, then even Rabbi Yehuda could agree in that case that it's only an Issa Drabbanon, and probably only a Gzeira Drabbanon, which can be Matir B'Makom Choli. Oh. So I was thinking, maybe that could be another pshat in this Ramban and Psuke and Piske Reed. The Av Malacha of Malabein is Kibus. If you squeeze something out of the beged, the liquid's out of the beged, which is called schita bishul malabe, that's only a tolda of malabe. So it could be that, just 1 second, does it work out? Wait 1 second, now the cheshbon doesn't work out for me. That, where do we say that kavana? No, it doesn't work out. I was going to say the following, that if you want to know whether kavana is an integral part of the malacha, maybe we could be machalich in the av and the tolda. That in the case of the av, we don't need his kavana. In the case of the tolda, we need his kavana. But no, it doesn't work.
What is Abida going to, I mean, the Rav shows in the Rambam that kavana is part of the heft of that malacha.
Right.
What is Abida going to talk that?
Same thing. This has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. This halacha in Meleches Machshavos, meaning the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is in other dinim, you know, in other principles. But here, when we're dealing with the definition of the malacha, that's why, for example, you know that in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel, there are a number of malachas where the Mishnah goes out of its way to say al menas. Like, for example, in the case of Korea, it's al menas litfar. So the Minchas Chinuch says this has nothing to do with Makalkin. it means that even if we too, you'd have a korea, which would be a tikkun, but it was shalom and as litfar, that's not the same malacha. And that's true even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, certain malachas have built-in conditions that without those conditions, it's not called a malacha. And very often, kavana is integral to the malacha. But both sides, we're coming close to Purim. And one of the most important aspects of Purim is Mechiyas HaMolech. The minig is that on the Shabbos before Purim, we read the parsha of Zechiras HaMolech.
I thought it's getting drunk.
Many different aspects to Purim. But if you want to share on getting drunk, I'll give you a different share. But I wanted to share with you, I have here a sefer, which it's a very Hasidic sefer, but I love it very much, and lately I've gotten heavy into it. It's called the Shmilei Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman. I don't know if we have any Belzers here in the audience. I'm married into a Belzer family, so this is the Belzer Rebbe's Chavrusa. I mean, he's also the Rosh Kol in Belz. And in addition to being a tremendous Lamdin, he's also a big Baal Machshov. His Hashkafis and his Hasidus are really outstanding.
It doesn't sound like a Hasidic sefer.
Well, he names it after himself, Shmilei Pinchas. Fact.
No, meaning he's a Rosh Kol and he's a Lamdin. It doesn't sound like he's a Hasidic.
So that's what I'm telling you, that Venafochu, in honor of Purim, things are changing. You know, there are a lot of big... I don't know if you guys know this, the Belzer Rebbe was a child when he became a Rebbe. I think he was about 16, maybe younger. Yeah, Yanuka. And he was learning Ketzais and Nesivus. He had Chavrusas teaching him Ketzais and Nesivus. And the Gera Rebbes were all involved in the Talmidei Chacham, and classically, and Sokachov, and so forth. But in any event, there's certainly a lot of Torah in the Chassidish world. But what do I want to share with you here? He in this particular presentation, he asks four kashas. The fear kashas, we'll call it. The first kasha is raised by the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Tafresh Gimel, all the way at the end of Kitetzeh, raises the following question. The Pasuk says, Zocher es asher osol cha amolek. And he writes that as far as this mitzvah is concerned, we just have to remember Amalek once a year. But then the Chinuch writes that there's a minug to read the parish of Zohar on the Shabbos before Purim. And why? Because Haman was Mizecher, meaning Zarashal Amalek, and therefore we read Zechirus Amalek before Purim. Then the Chinuch goes on and asks the following question. So why is the minug that we read it on the Shabbos before Purim? Why not read it on Purim itself? And then we be Yotzei on Purim. And he gives a technical answer that the reason why the minhag was koveh that we read it before Purim is in order to transmit the message that this mitzvah is not a mitzvah that's only generated by Purim, it's the whole year round. But he, the Shmilei Pinchas, wants to give a more fundamental explanation and a connection between Kedusha Shabbos and the mitzvah of Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kash. So that's his first question. His second question is, usually we find that the Moedim, if they overlap with Shabbos, there's some sort of connection between the Kriya for the Moed and the Shabbos itself. And here the Kriya is Tetzaveh. What is the connection between Tetzaveh and Zechiras HaMolek? Is it just a coincidental overlap, or there's some more integral connection? Then he asks another question. We're involved in the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. That's not really the apex, the completion of the mitzvah. The completion of the mitzvah is Mechiyas HaMolek. And yet the Rambam writes in Hilchas Molochim that mitzvah zu, Mechiyas HaMolek, ein oheges adimos HaMashiach. We don't have the possibility, because the Pasuk says, Be'niach Hashem Elokech Mikol Evecha, to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolek until Mashiach comes. So he's bothered by this. He says, in a certain sense, Zechiras HaMolek as an introduction to Mechiyas HaMolek is a half-baked mitzvah, because we really cannot fulfill the ultimate mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolek. He quotes the Gemara in Brachos, Chashav Adam Lasos Mitzvah V'Yonas V'Lo Kima Yismailo V'Kosim Kilu Kima. He says, but that's not enough, because Milo Lava Kosukiwa Kima means I can have what? Kavana in mind that I want to be Mocha Molech. He says, well, what exactly is the method by which we can do our best, our utmost, right? That's what Nenas means. We did the best we could, and therefore it's Malal of Akosav, as if we Makai in the mitzvah of Mechiyas Hamolech. What can we do in practical terms to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechiyas Hamolech? His fourth question, which I think is his really, this is the question that he wants to really focus on, is based on the Zohar. The Zohar says in Parshas Tetzaveh that there are four Golios. And in three out of four Golios, we were Zohar to Geula. Each one is parallel, it corresponds to one of the others. And the Zohar establishes that Bishchus Avraham Avinu was the first Geula, Yitzhak the second, and Yaakov the third. What about the fourth Geula? Says the Zohar, Me'agolus HaRaviyas, this is the Hebrew translation of the Zohar, Yigalu Yisrael Bishchus Moshe. And why Moshe? Because the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, referring to the fourth Golus, Vayomer Hashem, why am I sending you to this bitter and long exile? Al Azvam es Torasi, because you forsake my Torah, you forsook my Torah. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, since he is the Nosein HaTorah, he's the transmitter of Torah, he's the one that's going to bring about the Geula, the Golus of which was generated by Al Azvam es Torasi, because he's the Moser HaTorah. And the last line in the Zohar really catches our eyes. The Zohar says, "Kshiyashuvu v'yasku b'torah," is then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ani golam, I will be golem them when they go back and dedicate themselves to Esek HaTorah." This Zohar is quoted by the Archaim HaKadosh right here at the beginning of Tetzaveh, and he asks the following question. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be responsible for the fourth Geula. Moshe Rabbeinu is the epitome of Avas Yisrael. He's willing to be Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. What is taking so long? And in order to answer this question, he quotes an Alshich. The Alshich has an amazing Yisod. The Alshich asks a similar question to the Arachayim's question. He wants to know, why are we suffering so much from Amolek? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself declares that I can't tolerate Amolek. Macho emcha zech Amolek. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't tolerate Amolek, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring about the downfall of Amolek? And here the Alshich has a brand new yisod, a new principle, very mystical. And he says that every nation on the face of the earth has a malach up in Shammai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu never brings down the downfall of a malach, of a nation, until first he brings down the downfall of the malach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for the Sorrow Shel Amolek to be brought down. When we bring down the Sorrow Shel Amolek, then we can destroy Amolek, but not until that happens. Says the Alshich, and who is the Sorrow Shel Amolek? Well, based on a Sugya Bava Basra, he says, who are Satan? Who are Yetzahara? Who Malach HaMoves? Who Samoel? Samoel is the spiritual angel of Amolek. And how do we bring about the destruction of the Sorrow Shel Amolek of Samoel? He says the following. What feeds the Sorrow Shel Amolek? What gives him life? He wants to undermine our study of Torah. Right? Amolek attacks us where? In Rafidim, Al Sharafi Yadevin HaTorah. His Yetzahara, his fence, is the Yetzahara that prevents us from dedicating ourselves to Torah study. If we want to bring about the destruction of the Sorrow Shel Amolek, and then ultimately of Amolek as a nation, then we have to rededicate ourselves to the study of Torah. And he goes on to say, again, I'm not going to go through the entire piece. There's many, many different dimensions of this long piece, but he says that Shabbos, he has many rayas, is the Bechin of Das, and when the Pasuk says, V'yasafta d'gonech, we go into Eretz Yisrael, so the Medrash says that the Malach comes in front of Shemayim and says, we're going to be so busy, V'yasafta d'gonech, and Eretz Yisrael, v'torah mai tehel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers that every other day of the week has a Ben Zug, except for Shabbos. Shabbos is my ben zug, and on Shabbos the people of Israel are dedicated to the study of Torah. There's no v'yasafta d'gonecha. So that's what the greatness of Shabbos is all about. Shabbos is a time period, and maybe in a halachic discussion we'll talk about this at great length, that's dedicated to the study of Torah. And therefore it's not coincidental that when we read the parsha of Zechiras HaMolek, we're going to read it on Shabbos. Why are we going to read it on Shabbos? And the Torah itself was given on Shabbos is because Shabbos represents a dedication to Torah. And that dedication to Torah is our ability to destroy HaMolek. So we ask the question at the outset, it seems almost disappointing. We cannot be Mekayim the mitzvah of HaMolek. We can do Zechiras HaMolek, but we can't do Mechiyas HaMolek. Elo what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, well, do your maximum. Well, what is the maximum? If we can't destroy the Molech as a nation physically, because for that we have to wait for Mashiach, at least we can do the precondition. We can accomplish the destruction of Sorrow Shalom Molech. And how do we destroy the Sorrow Shalom Molech? Where the Al-Shif says that, the downfall of Molech can only take place after the Sar Shalom Molech is defeated, is when we take away the sustenance that Amalek lives from. What keeps Amalek going is Bittul Torah. And if we go back to the Zohar that we started with in Parshas Tetzaveh, the Zohar says that even though Moshe Rabbeinu wants to bring about the Geula, but he can't bring about the Geula for those who are Mevatel as Atzma min HaTorah. Because if they're being Mevatel as Atzma min HaTorah, then Adarabba, that's strengthening the Golus that's brought about by Amalek, the Sarshal Amalek. The only way that we can bring about the Geula is through dedication to Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu for sure would like to destroy the Sarshal Amalek and then Amalek. He wants to bring about the Geula B'Schus Moshe, but it's only if we rededicate ourselves to the study of Torah. And this swings back to our original question. What's the connection between Parshas Tetzaveh and Parshas Zohar? And the Medrash says, Ata Tetzaveh, that Tetzaveh is Miloshin Tzavta, which means learning the Chavrusa, you know, get together people, that's called Tzavta. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Ata Tetzaveh, meaning you have to be Meschaber with Klal Yisrael. And how does Moshe Rabbeinu achieve that Chibur with Klal Yisrael, v'yikhu elecha shemen zayizach. And the shemen zayizach of the menorah represents what? The study of Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to activate and inspire the Jewish people to come to a dedication to Torah study. And there should be a shemen zayizach. And with that, you will be mischaber with Klal Yisrael. Once you're mischaber with Klal Yisrael, you can bring about the ultimate Geula. So Rabbosai, as we enter Purim, and in addition to Tavlo Yodah that you mentioned before, but it's also an inyan of remembering HaMolek. And if we want to remember HaMolek and we want to fulfill the maximum, we have to say to Hashem, we did whatever we could to destroy the Sorrow Shal HaMolek and be Makai Mocho Timcha, Timcha Zech HaMolek. And how could we Nenes only if we say to the Rebbe, we did the maximum? And for that, we have to rededicate ourselves to the study of Torah. And I've said it many, many times. You know, our numbers are a bit limited. We don't have a base measure that's full, certainly not in the afternoon. It's not packed. And therefore, there's like almost a special, intense responsibility on the shoulders of each one of us to try to dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah. So what I'm asking now is that during the afternoon, say that there should be no batola. I don't even care what it's for. It's, it could be very good things, and the office is here. We don't go into the office during the seder. That's my exeter. Now, how much is my exeter worth? That's a different question. But it says in Chazal that sometimes even a hedgehog has the getter of a tzaddik, and then a kosh baruch is kind of the exeter of a tzaddik. So my hope and prayer is that if we have to battle, let's try not to do it during seder time. You know, any appointments that you have, try to schedule them for after seder time. And if in Mirtz Hashem we can form a little bit of a nucleus, a germ of a group, B'tzavta, that from 9:30 in the morning, with the exception of 1 hour for lunch, till 5:30 in the afternoon, not such a long time. Not such a long time. When you're learning Torah, time flies. You know, you don't have to look at your clock every 5 minutes. If you're learning Torah b'iyun and halacha b'iyun, then you could certainly get swept away and the time flies. And that's the avos haTorah, the dedication to Torah that we need. And Amir Hashem, if we do that, we'll be zoche to Mechiyas HaMolek, not just to destroy the and bring down the downfall of the Malach Shalom, of the Sarah Shalom, but also the fall to see that Moshe Rabbeinu will be happy to be mezakas and the gula shleima, the destruction of Amalek, b'meir v'yameinu.